the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, June the 21st, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump reverses course on some aspects of his border policy. Also on the Thursday rundown, with the midterms approaching, we'll take you to a state you might not expect to be reaching out to Latino voters. And Dan Hyman's got a novel angle on the utility of medical marijuana. First, our top story, President Trump reversed course Wednesday, saying he would sign an executive order ending family separations at the U.S.-Mexico border. The Washington Post reports the move comes after a public uproar over the impact of the administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy. The plan would keep families together in federal custody while awaiting prosecution for illegal border crossings, potentially violating a 1997 court settlement that limited the duration of child detentions. Meantime, medical and mental health experts are sounding the alarm over the thousands of immigrant children already separated from their parents. More from Eric Gladys.
Dr. Dennis Conrad, president of the Texas Pediatric Society, says separating and institutionalizing children can put their health at substantial risk. He notes the initial impact is fairly clear to parents or anyone who has cared for children.
Pictures of them crying and screaming and wishing to remain with their parents as they're forcibly removed is evidence of the anxiety that they feel with that immediate separation and that fear. That creates what's called increased stress.
If that stress continues over a period of time, Conrad says it creates what's known as a toxic stress environment.
Children who actually are in a persisting toxic stress environment do not develop appropriately. They're subject to anxiety, night terrors, fear of separation, and other adverse consequences.
After widespread outrage over separations along the southern U.S. border, GOP leaders have vowed to end the practice. And on Wednesday, President Donald Trump signed an executive order to end separations.
The Texas Pediatric Society and the American Academy of Pediatrics have publicly condemned the separation of children from parents at the border, calling the practice inhumane and unnecessary. Utah voters will head to the polls next Tuesday for the state's primary elections. Catherine Davis Young reports voter advocates are working to boost participation among Utah's Hispanic population.
In 2016, just 58% of eligible Hispanic voters in Utah cast ballots on Election Day, according to census data. Among white voters, 64% participated. During primary and midterm elections like this year's, voter turnout tends to be lower. The West Valley city-based organization Communities United has been reaching out to Latino voters to emphasize the importance of participation. The group's Maria Montez says one obstacle is perception. Many immigrant families come to the U.S. from countries with historically unfair elections. After Donald Trump's unexpected win in 2016, she says many people's faith in American elections was shaken too.
For those community members that now are here in the United States and maybe felt a little bit more encouraged about voting, the elections in 2016 made them feel out of love with the electoral cycle in the United States.
Montez says another hurdle has been voter education. Communities United has been reaching out to Utah's Latino population through church groups and community health programs to let people know where and when to vote and connect them with information about issues and candidates. Montez says the organization's goal is to register 1,000 new voters before November's midterm election.
And on Tuesday night, the New York State Assembly voted to restore net metering of community solar power.
The bill would put the Public Service Commission's Value of Distributed Energy Resources, or VDER, plan on hold for 3 years. Net metering and VDER are methods of calculating compensation for smaller energy sources, such as solar installations, for the power they feed into the electric grid. Bob Rossi, who heads the New York Sustainable Business Council, says restoring net metering will make solar power accessible to all New Yorkers, including almost half of state residents who rent their homes and can't install solar panels on their property.
It gives them access to the energy savings by joining a community solar farm. And under VDER, it's just not possible for most people.
The PSC says VDER was established to fix a flaw in the net metering system and to support the state's Reforming the Energy Vision strategy. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And finally, stats from states with medical marijuana suggest legal weed could be a big help to West Virginia's straining Public Employees Insurance Agency. Dan Hyman explains.
Striking teachers demanded better funding for their health insurance. By one estimate, a working medical marijuana program could save PEIA $18 to $30 million a year in pharmaceutical costs. Rusty Williams is the patient advocate on the West Virginia Medical Cannabis Advisory Board. He says a survey of states getting medical marijuana showed a sharp drop in Medicaid drug spending.
They're seeing a collective annual savings of $156 billion. People are opting to pay out of pocket for cannabis rather than have their insurance pay for pharmaceuticals.
Advocates say PEIA needs at least $50 million a year. Marijuana remains illegal at the federal level and is still regarded as a dangerous drug by many in state politics.
I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.